Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Did you come with your expectors on this morning?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, take your Bibles. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I have what it says I have.
And I will do what it says that I am supposed to do. This morning,
we'll be taught
the infallible,
incorruptible,
unchangeable
Word of God.
And I will never be the same.
In Jesus' name.
And now I boldly proclaim. My mind is open.
My heart is receptive.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for this time. Now, Lord, we commit this service into your hands. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to take control. Cause our Father's will to be done in this place today, in every heart and every life. Work in each one those things which are necessary for them today, Lord, according to your will, plan, and purpose. For this we praise you. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I was sitting there this morning, or actually standing, God began to deal with me about something totally different. Now I have a dilemma. As you know, I'm never really long-winded, but I believe God took me in a direction that I need to say this, and I do have another direction, but we'll see what the Spirit of God wants to do. Look in your Bibles at 2 Peter 3:10, if you will. Hallelujah. Father, once again, this is your time. We are your people, Lord. We want to be obedient to you, Lord. We covet your presence. We covet your word. We covet your direction, your correction. We covet your leading and your guiding us and causing us to be transformed, changed in all of our deeds and actions and thoughts and words, Lord. We want to be like you, Lord. We want people to see you through us, Lord. So to that end, we yield ourselves to you this morning. We yield total control to you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for the accomplishment that it's going to have and the change that it's going to bring in our lives. Hide me behind the cross, Lord. In Jesus' name, let the name and the entity of Jesus Christ, the anointed one with the anointing, be lifted up and revealed today. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. As I was sitting there, all of a sudden my thoughts were turned from what God had given me. And for a few moments, I just want to mention this to us. You know, one of the things that's easy to do, I mean, we're told to occupy till he comes. Is that not correct? One of the things we don't want to do is get so caught up in the things around us and the things going on that we lose sight of the fact because of worry or fear or, you know, whatever that comes. Get caught up in those things because he will come at a time that you don't even think about. Amen? We're looking at things going on right now, and as we sang, as the song was playing this morning, Jubilee, the year of Jubilee. And the thought occurred to me, this could be that year of Jubilee. Are you listening to me? You know, there's all this rhetoric going on, and everybody's up in arms. There's divisions that you cannot believe. Almost like God has parted the waters and set the evil on one side and the righteous on the other side, if you will. I don't know what I'm saying, folks. It's just coming from the Holy Ghost. But the point is that just like in the time when it was either Elisha or Elijah, when the eyes were open to the people and they saw that there was more with him than there was of them. Doesn't make any difference how many people are out there using all the rhetoric and all the nonsense about people who basically don't have any care about life, your rights, your liberties, or your pursuit of happiness. They want what they want. I followed a car in this morning when I went to pick up Kylie. that basically said, you know, coexist. Well, the only way you can coexist is with God, right? The other thing is that there was some other statement. I don't even remember what it was. That's how impressed I was with it. But the point is that everybody's pointing to somebody who really does not, or let's say a bunch of somebodies who really don't understand. They don't have a clue. Nor do they care about the people who made sacrifice. Every one of us here knows what sacrifice means because we've laid our lives down for Him. But you think they will lay their lives down? No, no. Why? Because of sensualness and selfishness. Amen? That's enough of that. Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44. Like I said, unless God directs me, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I do want to get into the message, but I want to say some things here that we need to keep in mind. I just really felt hard impressed that we needed to just mention these things this morning. Matthew 24, 36 through 44. It says, But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. As the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day of Noah entered the ark. They that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
Amen.
The whole thing about this that I felt impressed in my spirit is the fact that let's don't get caught up in all this nonsense that's going on around us. There's things we have to do. We have to be prudent. We have to be diligent as good stewards. Did you hear me? As good stewards. We need to vote. But don't get caught up in it because God's hand is still in control. Amen? We can all agree on that. Amen? God's going to do what God's going to do. And it doesn't make any difference. All the rhetoric in the world, all the shouting, all the silliness, doesn't make any difference. We need to continue keeping our eyes on the place and knowing that this could be the very time and hour when the focus is off of the things of God in many circles, and understand that He could be coming right around the corner. Who knows? Before we go to sleep Monday night, or during our sleep Monday night. Could be just after the election. Could be during the election. We don't know. We've got to keep our focus in the right place. Amen? Hallelujah. We've got to keep it in the right place. And that's looking for His glorious appearing. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the other thing we want to keep very close to our hearts and in our thoughts is that we continually, every day, in everything we do, say, we anticipate God's supernatural intervention, His inevitable supernatural intervention. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm telling you, be still and see the salvation of the Lord. You hear me?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Actually, don't hear me. Hear the voice of the Spirit. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. One more. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. And that talks about the 10 virgins. Getting caught up in all the nonsense and the rhetoric is easy. Makes it easy for people to be distracted. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Actually, I see where this might tie in with what God gave me. That time will tell. Anyway, the bottom line is, this is called the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Verse 1 says, "And then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels, in the vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins who rose and trimmed their lamps Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamp is going out." I want to stop right there for a moment. Here's what I see. I see people out there willing to fight and bleed for what they believe, but they're fighting and bleeding for the wrong cause and the wrong person, and their sight is in the wrong place. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're on a side they don't even understand. They don't even understand. When the bottom line comes, we're going to have to be ready to give an account of the glory and the anticipation and of the hope that's within us. Amen? They don't have a clue. They're just blindly running along, going for things. Yeah, let's go. And they don't have a clue of the destruction that just is right in front of them. They don't have a clue. It's up to us to be the light and salt. Amen? They don't have a clue. Help us, Lord. You see, the bottom line is, even those in the other camp who claim to be servants of God, and it's not up to you and I to decide whether they are or they aren't, but the point is, they're running after things that are really, really only stealing their direction and stealing truth from them, because they're so caught up, if you will, in the party, and by party I'm not talking about political, that they've lost sight of values and things that are important. There's only one way that can happen: if God and His Son are not the ones who your every hope is built on. Verse 9 said, "But the wise answered, saying, No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went out, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Amen? Hallelujah. Folks, he's coming. We don't know the day and the hour, but the point is, we do know he's coming. So the point is, we can't get caught up in all the silliness and the nonsense, all the rhetoric. You know, battle lines have been drawn. I can tell you, more than ever, in my spirit, I feel this is an election that is, the line's been drawn, mm-hmm. Darkness or light. Mm-hmm. Darkness or light. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No man can serve two masters. Yeah. Choose this day who you're going to serve. Yep. Amen? Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." These people are going out headlong with all their might, going after things that are fleeting, false, and are going to pass away. They're listening to the deceptive voice of the enemy, who's a liar and the father of all lies. John 8:44 is very clear when it says that you are of your father, the devil, and his desires you want to do. And when he speaks, when the enemy speaks, he speaks of his own resources. What are those resources? Deception, deceit, and lies. Thank God we've been set free. Amen. We've been planted and built on that solid rock. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let the winds and the storms blow and bluster. Let them. Because when it's over with, because we've got that cornerstone, we're going to be standing. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. That was for free. Hallelujah. Now, moving right along, I had an experience this week with a family member that really took me back, and I had to go to God. My spirit was upset, and rightfully so. We were having a conversation, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, venomous words came. "Don't tell me what the Bible says." And we were just having a conversation. I was thinking, I wasn't directing anything at this person. I wasn't trying to set them straight. I was just making some observations based on the conversation we were having. You know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, these words came out. And I went home that night and I was absolutely beside myself. Not out of control. But as I meditated on it for the next 48 hours, or 24 hours, I should say, I thought to myself, how is it that the very thing that should draw us together, the very thing we have in common, the very one who we belong to, the very one who has told us we're His body and we can't do without one another, how is it that over His Word, and even when it's not something where somebody's trying to make a point, that they can come out and be venomous and not wanting to, and the regret comes afterwards. But the point is that, I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me, does it to you? There's only two or three reasons for that. We're going to hopefully cover those in just a few moments here. Praise the Lord. Our clock is wrong, so don't pay attention to that clock. I'll let you know when it's time to go. Do you trust me?
Sure.
Oh, y'all didn't answer now. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Has anybody else been in that situation? Where people who were, you thought we were all on the same side and we're having a conversation, like I say, it's not a debate or discussion of things, you know, or trying to, you know, point out your thoughts or theories or your, you know, what you see in the Word. You're just having a discussion. You happen to mention something, and the next thing you know, somebody's got you in the crosshairs.
Been there, got the T-shirt.
Yeah. You may have the slug, too.
Body armor.
Yes, sir. Or the chink in your armor. That's right. That in your armor. That's right. Anyway. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work. We need to make note of that. Patience will cause a perfect work to be done in our lives. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You know, one of the things that I said to this individual, I said, you know, when I called and said, you know, how did this happen? What happened here? I mean, there's no question that we love one another. It's family. Though be it physical, it's still family, or biological, it's still family. Okay? Now, I understand what the Word says. There's going to be rifts and things between people. And it goes back to the very thing that was said, that a prophet is... That's right. When he comes, he's not received in his own house. Well, I'm not saying that I'm a prophet, but the point is... And of course, other things came out. Well, we don't go to the same churches and things. What is the point? I mean, can somebody tell me? Maybe I'm missing something here. What is the point? There is no point. It's foolish rhetoric and words, just empty words, which the Bible says we're going to give an account for. Amen? Every idle, unproductive word. It's not good to let your emotions be in control. It's good to let God, by the Holy Spirit, be in control. Amen? Hallelujah. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I made the observation to this individual, well, you know, I'm sorry about what happened, and everybody comes to me, and I don't have the answers. You got it. You got it. You're right. And recently we heard the example of the person who goes to the file drawer in their mind. And they very carefully, file by file, go through it from front to back. And they don't find what they're looking for. And then they very carefully go from back file to the front file and they still don't find it. And then they very carefully take the file out one file at a time, laying it down very carefully, and looking. And they still can't find what they're looking for. It's because you don't have the ability. We talked about that. When you don't have an answer, you need to run to the one and say, I know the one who has all of the answers. I may not have it, but I know the one who does. And if I ask in faith, Scripture says He gives liberally. Amen? And He doesn't withhold from anybody who will ask Him in faith. Amen?
when you want Him, when you want His Word, when you want His thoughts and His enlightenment more than anything else, you put yourself aside. Swallow your pride. Excuse me. I'll get rid of this. That's one thing I won't miss is these idiot political phone calls. Let's move on because I lost my thought there. Yeah, the Holy Spirit will bring it back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyway, we ask of God and He gives the answer. I said to this individual, you're right, I don't have the answers either. But I know the one who does. And I said, in these situations, the only thing you can do is stand there and listen. And as you're listening, you will hear that still small voice of God give you the answer. It's not up to you to set the whole world on fire. It's not up to you to try to, in your own strength, give everybody an answer or pretend to be the wise one walking on the earth. How do you know what I'm talking about? Has anybody faced this besides me? I could hear that old song ringing in my ears. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's why we run to the rock that's higher than I. That's why we run into the name of the Lord, which is a strong tower. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, every one of us as Christians has a desire to see people come to the full knowledge of God, ourselves included. And every one of us faces emotional frustrations. How many times have I stood here and said, it'd be great if we could just go out, unloosen the bolts on everybody's neck, tip the head upside down, dip the garbage out, and then put the good stuff back in. But it doesn't work that way. It takes the working and the leading of the Holy Spirit. It takes time in His Word to bring you to the place and where wisdom starts to set in. Someone who's really got it going together would be like Solomon. What are you saying, Bill? Solomon didn't ask for all the other things that he could have asked for as a king. He asked for one thing because his focus was not on him. It was on God and the people. And he said, give me wisdom to lead my people. Lead your people. Not my people, your people. And Solomon is accounted as the wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth because he put God first. Amen? Whether we go to the same church or not doesn't make a difference. We are still called Christians. If we still have that common thread of being born again and have confessed Him as Lord, that's all that matters. Whether we see eye to eye on everything or not, that's not important. What's important is that we understand where our salvation comes from and that He is the one who leads and guides into all truth, not us. Amen?
Amen.
But you see, what happens when somebody lashes out like that, it speaks of and reveals out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It shows what's in the heart. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm not saying they don't love the Lord. But I'm saying there are issues that are not resolved in their life. In yours and mine too, huh? Amen? So in all of this, the first thing that happens is I begin to consider my ways. What did I do? Was there something that I said? And if I need to take responsibility, then I say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. But if I'm not responsible, then I still need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, thank You. And I pray for that person that You'll open their eyes, that their understanding will be illuminated. Amen? Unfortunately, in this world today, we all know, we've talked about this until we beat this horse to death twice, is the fact that everybody's caught up in their own thing, and nobody wants to be wrong, and everybody operates to some degree out of a little sensualness, or selfishness, if you will, which is sensualness. Sensualness means you're operating by the senses and by what's comfortable for you. And yet I remember that I'm crucified with Christ. I'm not saying this because I'm telling you folks that I've arrived, but I'm saying in this, instead of going off half-cocked and getting angry, I went to God and said, God, what's up with this? And then I went, like the Bible says, come now, let us reason together. And as I shared, I saw the walls come down. It's not up to me to be in charge of the final outcome of that. It's up to me to share the truth and to acknowledge that I'm human too. And as they began to tell me about their emotions and things, you know, and how they feel, I said, Do you think I feel any different? Am I different than you? And I began to remind them, because they seem to have put their pastor on a pedestal. There seems to be something that goes on in my family. I don't understand. I was guilty of it one time. They began to put focus on and shut everybody else out. You're on the outside looking in. Oh, honey, be very careful. Be very careful. Because you've entered into judgment and you don't even know it. Your responsibility in judgment is to judge you, and the Bible says you won't have a need for anybody else to judge you. Is that right? Where's the safety here? Consider your ways. Thank you, Lord. Verse 6, but lay mask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For he is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. You know, the only reason you would lash out at somebody when they come to bring truth to you? Now, and even, you guys are going to like this, I'm telling you. You got your steel toes on? Even if they come to you with an element of truth, your responsibility is not to react except in a way that's receiving and loving of that person. They can be as dumb as a post in what they say or totally deceived, but that does not mean that they're not valued. Do you understand? It's not wrong to have an opinion. The two things that are wrong is when you try to force your opinion on somebody else, or when you put no value in somebody else's opinion. I didn't say accept their opinion. I said put no value on it, which means I'm the only one that matters. My opinion is the only one that counts. And I'm telling you, in my life, I've learned, and I'm learning, not a ride, but I'm learning, the only opinion that really matters is God's opinion. Are you with me? That's the only opinion that matters. That's the opinion we need to strive to have. Once again, why we pray, God, I want to think the way you think. I want to see what you see. I want to know what you know. And in that comes the compassion of God. Even if a person is completely off the wall, the responsibility is to love them, not let emotions or anxiousness take over and say or do something really stupid that causes division. Because God says he hates discord and dissension. Amen? Those are his words, not mine. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation. Because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower fails. Its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man will also fade away in his pursuits. You know, another thing is, when we come on strong, sometimes, without allowing the Holy Spirit to work, that may be the very thing that causes that first brick of that wall of division or discord to be built and cause the derision between two people. You hear me? It's not up to me to stand here and convince you or anybody else of God's truth. Doesn't your Bible say and mine say that the Word of God goes forth and it accomplishes what it's sent to do and does not return void?
Yeah.
Part of walking it out, folks. Part of walking it out. I know, we all have emotions. We all get frustrated at times. Hear me talk about that a little bit last week. But the point is, when it comes to talking about the things of God, what are we going to accomplish when we're out there railing on one another or biting at one another, devouring one another? We're not going to accomplish anything except the devil's work, and that's division, discord, dissension, right? We've got to run to the rock that's higher than us, amen? Blessed is the man, in verse 12, who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. That word means tested, and there's some other things that are there, but it basically means tested. For God cannot be tested with evil,
nor does he himself test anyone with evil. Are you hearing me? But each one is tested when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and the sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. We are all men and women of like passions. And one of the things we need to realize is just as we understand, as we grow and mature in the Lord, the love we have for others did not come from us, and that starts right there in your own household, for your spouse first of all, then your children, and then those you come in contact with, meaning even the family of God. The same love that we have, you didn't get that on your own. You don't have the capability without God in your life or the knowledge of God. Can we agree on that? But remember that the same love that you have, that when you speak to somebody, is the same love that God has put there, and it came from God. It's not within your capabilities outside of God. Amen? And so when the statement was made, well, you know, we don't go to the same churches and things. What, again, does that have to do with anything? It doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's not even worth wasting the words. It's idle talk. But what matters is that we understand that that love that you have, that other person probably has too. Aren't we told to think the best of everyone? Hello? See, in all of this, the whole thing that's going on is not pointing a finger at the individual that I had the conversation with, but God's saying, search your heart. Search your heart. They said to me, well, I don't have the answers. And I said, well, I've got some answers. I can give you answers, but I don't believe that's what God wants me to do. That's up to Him. So I kept on sharing my heart and the Word with this individual. And the peace came. Peace came. And began to sit and receive from God. They apologized for their reaction to simple words. And I said, there's no apology necessary. I bear no judgment against you. I bear no grudge. It's over and done with. All I want us to do is to let the iron in you sharpen me, who's iron also. Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't care who you are. I don't care where you go to church. If you know the Lord, then I can receive things from you. Do I accept everything? No. But I still can, by the Holy Spirit, receive nuggets of truth because it's the same God who dwells in us. It has nothing to do with the levels. If I'm not mistaken, my Bible says, and your Bible says, God is no respecter of persons. Is that right? That He sees us all equally. And He loves us all. And you know what the darndest part is? And I still haven't figured this out. Maybe you're smarter than I am. He says, you are the apple of His eye. How many times have we talked to other people, or was it told to us when we got saved, or had, as a part of bringing us to salvation, that if you were the only one on the face of the earth, Jesus would have still fulfilled the Father's will and died for your salvation because it was God's will and plan and purpose. Hallelujah. Verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. He doesn't have one opinion about you and another opinion about me. He's of the same opinion and the same mind. He's not double-minded. We're the ones who have double minds. We go around professing Christ, and then something comes up and our actions go completely the opposite direction. Oh man, did a great job on that one. And then we've got to go and repent before God. And that's called humility. We don't like humility in a lot of cases. One of the things that God has worked on me over the last 40 years plus with Him is being able to stop and shut my mouth, even though I didn't say I succeeded every time, but I'm working on it, and God's still working on me. Shut my mouth, hear what the person says, say, God, reveal to me if there's truth in that. Most of the time, I don't even have to ask. And if it's right, I thank God for using that individual. After all, he's using me, and we already know what I think about me. He can use any old donkey or jackass. I'll just use the word. And he can use me. And he can use me. Honey, he can use anybody. The jackass can turn the life of Paul around and make him a believer in Christ and a follower of him and one of the greatest apostles that ever walked. Guess what, folks? He's no respecter of persons. Amen? So, if we have a heart, and if it's wrong, you put it on the shelf and you say, Father, thank you. But I also thank you for that individual. I pray for them, Lord. Cause their enlightenment, their eyes and their understanding to be enlightened. Cause their spirit to be receptive. Whatever it is in them that's lacking that causes them to feel inferior, insecure in their walk with you, change that, Lord. Change that. It's not up to me. I'm to do what I know to do and let God take care of the rest. I shared with this individual about my son when I finally came to the realization with all the things that were going on that I was part of the problem. I was trying to do that thing we talked about, trying to spoon feed him with this stuff, and he's gagging on it, spitting it out, and I'm too stupid, too blind to see it. When I finally said, Father, you gave this child to me. Now I give him back to you. And then I had to do it again, spiritually, when I said, Father, you know how much I love him, but it's because you love him. And I understand how much you love him. I surrender him to you. I release him to you, Lord. And now he's in the safest hands he could ever be in. And once again, I had a conversation with him just recently in the last week or so. A wonderful conversation. Is he where I'd like to see him? No. So what? Does that mean God's not working? You see, the words of his mouth reveal what's really in his heart, even though his actions may not line up now. The thought was brought back to me by this individual I was having a conversation. I remember when he was a little boy, filled with the Spirit of God and being trained and taught in the way that he should go. His words tell me where his heart's at. Once again, he reaffirmed when he went to that courtroom the first time he had to go during the divorce. And this attorney was set to tear him down and beat him up. The wisdom of God said in him, he didn't even have an attorney, but he had the advocate. Didn't make any difference what I thought. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Is that right? That doesn't mean he condones or gets involved with our sin or hangs around, but he's there when we call on him. And when we quick to say, hey, I know it's only because of you. Amen? Repent and turn it to him. So he says, Dad, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, and I'm quoting, not paraphrasing, that I saw a supernatural miracle that day, because he put the lawyer right in his place, and the lawyer became an advocate. Lawyer, the opposing lawyer, became an advocate for what was right. That only happens when God's on the scene. Glory to God. I'm telling you. Is that right? So who gets the glory in all this? Because I backed off and said, God, he's yours. God reminded me he's yours. And I said, he's in the safest hands. As God allows me, we have conversations. And even though once in a while it starts to run away, because I back off, Lord, I'm not here to cause a rift. We're able to talk and reason together. And it really turns out we see eye to eye. Even though it may not come out the same way from our mouth, we're on the same track. Are you with me? See, people, the people out there and the rest of the body of Christ are not our enemies. We need them. They need us. Amen? The lines have been drawn in this political melee that's going on. Everybody's going around saying, man, I don't know who to vote for. So that's when you run. Say, Father, reveal to me your will. And watch God put it in your heart what his choice is. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't know where the political stuff came from, folks. I don't understand that. You're just getting that for free, I guess. Anyway, moving on. Verse 18. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. The next part's what catches us. Slow to speak and slow to wrath. That's what catches us. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. There is a righteous indignation. There is a righteous anger. But in that, sin is not perpetuated. Amen? Verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own or yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer and the word does and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. In the church today, it's unfortunate that there are people who are being subtly taught. It's not even being openly taught. It's the underlining current and attitude that comes from those in leadership and those around them. You got to do it my way or you're wrong. You got to think like I think or you're wrong. Does anybody see anything good coming from that? No. No. And we can point through meekness and humility and lowliness, not weakness, and say, God's way is the right way. Not my opinion, not your opinion. God's way is the right way. And that may not come in just those words. It may come in just the wisdom of God speaking to you so that you can speak into those lives. See, we sometimes people in the church don't understand. We've talked about this a million times, but it's important that we have this down, that this is solid in us. The Word of God is not a mirror for me to stand here and point in your face and say, see? It's a mirror for me to see the changes that need to take place in me. And as I change, the Bible tells me, God's Word says, that I will, by that change, provoke people to jealousy because I walk in a place they're not walking but desire to walk. Is that not right? When we try to do it our way, based on our opinion, we push God out of the picture. And no good, no life can come out of that. Can you all say amen to that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Glory to God. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Once again, I maintain an idea I've had for many years. I don't know where I got this. It must have come from God, because I've not heard anybody say it since. And that is, religion is man's idea about God. Christianity is a relationship with God. Does that make any sense? Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That doesn't just mean don't partake in their sin. That means don't act like them in any way, shape, fashion, or form. And the only way that's possible is by a life surrendered to God. Amen? I am crucified with Christ. But I live. But it's not me, it's Christ in me. And the life that I live by what? The faith of the Son of God, who what? Loved me and gave himself for me. Doesn't the Bible say a man ought to lay down his life for his friends? Amen? Praise the Lord. It's actions, words, attitudes that drive or keep others away or cause rejection of our words and the word of faith, and even the word of God. You want me to say that again? It's our actions or people's actions or words as believers or their attitudes that drive or keep others away or cause rejection of our words or the word of God and faith. You're supposed to be his ambassador. If you're acting like that, honey, I don't need what you got. Let me out of here. I'm reminded immediately now of a story back when I was in high school. Campus life was on out of You for Christ. And there was a group. I have no doubt they were transformed because they weren't wearing the hippie clothes. But you see the attitude of the kids who were there, including one young man who was dating a Baptist preacher's daughter in the high school, came to me after it was all said and done. Hold that thought for a minute. Let me finish my story. These guys came in and they had music. Now, it's not the type of music I particularly appreciate, but it was talking about the transformation in their lives that God made. They still had the long hair and the beards. So what? The Bible says we're changed line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Amen? But the point is, it was so obnoxious to even non-believers, they closed all the auditorium doors and every classroom in the entire school had to be closed because the music was so loud that it disrupted everything and put a sour taste in everyone's mouth. And as a result, the school administration said, we will no longer allow these kind of concerts in our building. And then now, going back to the young man, he came to me afterwards and he said, Bill, these guys claim to be changed. They still have the long... Now, this was his judgment, you understand, not my judgment. I didn't like it, but that's not the point. They were believers. And he said, they still have long hair, and their music was so loud I couldn't understand what they were saying. It turned me off. What do I need God for? They're no different than I am. How do you react when you're confronted with that? Could it be that there's just maybe a slight bit, maybe a whole lot, of a lack of humility in our lives? I'm going to read you Numbers 12:3. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. He was the one who said, God, why are you choosing me? I can't speak. Don't worry about it, Moses. I'll speak through you. All it takes is one who's willing and surrendered. Amen? Deuteronomy 8:2-6. Deuteronomy 8:2-6. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, and to test you. Remember, he doesn't test with evil. Okay? According to James chapter 1. To test you, to know what was in your heart. For his benefit? No, for their benefit. He already knew what was in their hearts. You don't pull one over on God. You missed a good place to say amen. To humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and then fed you with manna. Even though there was hunger, they were fed. And if we all remember the story correctly, it wasn't just a little bit. There was an overflow. Doesn't the Bible say that he gives to all men liberally and doesn't withhold? Glory to God. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with the manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways and to fear him. Romans 12:16. We're just about to wrap it up. Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinions. Or opinion. Pretty clear, I think. How about you? Don't carry superior attitudes. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit, in verse 19, with the lowly, than divide the spoil with the proud. Verse 20, he who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Finally, Proverbs 18:12, in closing. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. I think the Bible commands us all to humble ourselves before and under the mighty hand of God. Amen? Hallelujah. It's not our responsibility to go and set somebody straight. Even when it's done righteously, if there is such a thing. I'm reminded again of when there was sin in the house. Pastor Stan went, sat down, very carefully sought God, sought the Word about what it says about this. And he got, as he picked up his materials, his Bible and his materials, put his hand on the doorknob. God said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm going to go take care of this problem. And he asked him, he said, whose word is it anyway? Whose word are you holding in your hand? He says, it's yours. Then use it when I tell you to. Another way to say it might be, use it as I tell you to. And what happened because Stan was obedient? Some of us are still here in this house, saw what happened. That Sunday morning, a man came in with murder in his heart. We would say he's probably righteous in our eyes, and maybe even justifiable in our eyes. Because of Stan's obedience, God, by the Holy Spirit, dropped down to that man, and that man cried out for repentance, cried out in repentance, said, forgive me. And we watched God restore a marriage to the point where they even renewed their vows publicly in front of the church at an open-air meeting in a park. Can you do that? No, I can't do that either. But I can point the direction to the rock, again, that is higher than I. And watch the Holy Spirit take those words of life and bring forth life from a dead or dying situation. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All it takes is obedience. Setting yourself aside. Say, God, I want to do your will. Every area, no matter what it is. I want to be an effective minister for you. And I can't do that by going around without even saying the words, but giving the impression, don't you understand how great I am? I have the answers. Oh, very dangerous ground. You're headed for a fall. We read, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We're supposed to humble ourselves. And you know what? God has a way without destroying of us and of humbling us. It's better to surrender. Amen? Better surrender. God's good. He loves us. I see the picture of Nikita Khrushchev standing, banging his shoe on the table in the 60s when Kennedy was in office. Think that one person listened to anything he said? Do you think he got his point across? No. Where is he today? In most circles, he's not even a distant memory. Your Bible says people like that, even their memory will be erased. Amen? God's good. He loves us. And his power will operate through us as he wills, as the Spirit wills, according to the Word, which means his gifts and the things he's placed in us, the callings. But he has to be in control, not us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Are you blessed this morning? Praise the Lord. And we still got out of here by noon. We're finished by noon. Praise the Lord. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen? Hallelujah. And it doesn't make any difference if we all sit in the same pews in the same church. We're still part of the body of Christ. And our whole purpose and our whole objective is to build the body of Christ, not tear down. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to be like him. How about you? Hallelujah. And in that, I want people to say, I'm glad Bill came today. I'm glad Jesus came with Bill. I saw Jesus. Amen? That's what's important. It's like that picture that we had done for Pastor Stan one time. How many remember that we're here? Stan's desire of his heart, just laid before, is I don't want people to see me. I want them, when they see me, to see the image of Jesus. And we commissioned a painting where Stan was standing looking in the mirror, and the reflection was Jesus. Please, folks, the reason I mention Stan is not to laud him or to exalt him or to lift him up, but to show you and I what a person who's completely sold out to God with the right attitude and humility looks like. And in that, being unshakable, which some have misconstrued as arrogance, and it's not. It's assurance. Steadfast assurance. Once again, knowing and being persuaded that he is able to keep what we've committed to him against that day. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If anyone needs prayer, now's the time. God's good. If you didn't receive it this morning, receive it now. Amen. When he steps on the scene, he's there to meet all of the needs. Amen. All of the needs. Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know, in Timothy it says that you should go before the elders to get prayed for in the gift that God has given you. And I've never had anyone anoint me or pray me, so I couldn't do that. So I thought this is a good time.
Anybody else? Amen. 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 And we stand. We're not giving up. We stand. Reminding God we prayed the prayer of faith and believing, Marie, that it's a completed work. Amen. Praise the Lord. And there's going to be a testimony. It's going to bring God glory and honor. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, for your presence. for the revelation of your heart, your wisdom, your will, and your knowledge to men. Now, Lord, I pray that this word accomplishes in each life what you know needs to be accomplished. Not based on anything anybody else thinks, but basically on solely on what you have for them, Lord. That the seed that was sown will bring forth fruit in its season according to your plan and purpose. Seal it now in every heart, Lord. I thank you that it doesn't return void. It accomplishes what it's sent to do. So once again, we say thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now go with your people. Father, let your countenance and your face shine upon them. Let your mercy and grace be real, Lord, and be revealed to them. And let them know your presence in a way that they have never known before as a result of their being in your presence today. And let this be the testimony from this day forward in a way we've never experienced before. Thank you now for the fellowship, for the home fellowship, Lord. We thank you for safety and a blessed week, Lord, because it's your plan and will. And we receive it in Jesus' name. And all who agree, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You are dismissed.